Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
Our special guest today is Dr. Alberto Wilson, who is a longtime foot soldier in the school choice movement. She was among the first wave of people to set up scholarship funding organizations in Pennsylvania in 2002, and she has since founded a scholarship funding organization in Virginia. Her outfit is called the Faith First Educational Assistance Corporation. So, Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. I consider this a great privilege.
Well, thanks very much. Well, I'm going to start with a little bit of a rambling question for you. As you know, I am fairly new to the world of school choice, but I have wanted to speak with you ever since I got to this job because I read this quote from you that was in a story about a school choice rally in Virginia. And in the story you said, and I'm going to read the quote, you said, quote, "We are here because we want to declare loud and clear that we will no longer embrace an educational system that sings eeny, meeny, miny, moe and plays the game of chance with our children. We demand school choice, not school chance," end quote. Now, Dr. Wilson, I really love that quote because it makes people smile and it makes them think at the same time. So tell me a little bit more about what you meant by that quote.
Okay, I sure will. I was raised in the inner city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I'm sure, like myself, you played that game of it. And you would go around and you would say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by its toe, if he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, and whomever that person was, where you came to that last word, moe, they would be it. And you would have to take off running because then it was their task to find you and declare you to be it. It's a game of chance. And that was how the person was chosen. Well, I likened that to the inner city of Philadelphia where I was brought up. I was not in a neighborhood where we had schools that had great quality education, controlled classrooms, discipline, smaller rooms. I was not in that locale. In my hometown, as a matter of fact, in my early years through sixth grade in elementary school, I would call my mom and have her come to get me because it was a lot of bullying. Now, with that said, I said that we should not leave our children to chance in that if by chance they lived in a neighborhood with a better quality school, then they could have that quality education. If by chance their parents were able to live in a better zip code or had the money or had some other means of putting their children in a better school. If by chance they were able to do those things, then that child would fare better. But if not, they would not. So I said, no longer are we leaving it up to chance whether or not that parent has the income, whether they're in the correct zip code, but we are allowing our parents to make a choice. So therefore, no longer chance, but now by parental choice.
Okay, so basically the more choice, the less chance, and that's what you want to see.
That's and you phrased that very well. You're exactly right.
All right.
The more choice, the less chance. I like that, Ron.
I'm trying. Well, now you were fighting for school choice, and forgive me if that's not the right word, but you strongly advocating for school choice back when there weren't nearly as many school choice supporters as there are now. And so I'm really wanting to hear what you have to say about, seeing Indiana passing a statewide voucher program and Louisiana just the other day passing a statewide voucher program and, you know, all kinds of states all over the place moving the ball, really, with vouchers and tax credit scholarships. Did you foresee that school choice would start getting this big?
Well, I did because I have faith. And I believed that it would only be a matter of time. and we would see the dream realized. And we're seeing that right now, and we're seeing it at an accelerated pace thanks to many, many foot soldiers who have gone before. And those that are currently working, such as where you are there, Step Up for Students, American Federation for Children, and others that are currently working, Reach Alliance in Pennsylvania, and those that are here, they're working tirelessly to see it come to fruition. So, yes, I am very pleased that Indiana has a wonderful program, mm-hmm. and now with Louisiana having a wonderful voucher program. Parents are the stewards of the children. Therefore, it is their God-given right to make the choice in the school that they attend. Therefore, we should have programs in every state throughout the United States and across this world.
Okay. So you saw this coming. You're not surprised.
I am not surprised. I knew that it would be only a matter of time. When I first came back to the Virginia General Assembly to just share what had happened in Pennsylvania with the EITC program, when Delegate Saxman at that time was the patron of that school choice legislation, that was back in 03, 04, somewhere thereabouts. When I came here, I told him, I said, it's going to pass. It's just a matter of time. And everyone was looking because they had labored and not seen significant results. But I knew it would happen eventually. What we must do is to continue to put one foot in front of the other and sound the alarm, the clarion call, that parents demand choice, not chance.
Okay. Well, you are perfect for Redefined and for a podcast, for all kinds of reasons, obviously, but also because you have a very modern view of public education. So can you quickly tell our listeners what the difference is in your view between public education and public school? Because I think people mix those terms up. So what do you see as the difference between those two?
You are right, Ron. They mix those up exactly. And they have believed the lie for far too long. Public education is not synonymous with public school. That means they are not one in the same. Imagine for a moment with me, if you will, an umbrella. The umbrella represents public education. Now, you know there's a handle on the umbrella. Now, the one holding the umbrella is public school. Now, under that umbrella of public education, it should be those that would like to homeschool their children, those that would like charter school, parochial school, private school, cyber charter, Christian school, Jewish school, whatever the mode of educating those children would be, that those parents would make the decision to do, that should be under the umbrella of funding from public education. Why? Because public education is the education of the public, however they choose. But for far too long, public school has had control of public education, and they've kicked everyone from under the umbrella. No one else is allowed to be protected and educated but those that choose public school. Well, today is a new day. We say all of those modes are modes that the public choose to use. Therefore, the public funds that are the funds that make up public education should go to all of those modes, not to one mode, public school.
Well, do you think more people get that difference or see that distinction now than they did 10 years ago? I mean, are you optimistic that people will come to see that the way you do?
Well, I think it has to be articulated. I think that we're making great strides in what we're doing throughout the country because of the advocates that are continuing to push it and move it forward. But I think verbally and frequently, this needs to be resonating wherever we go. That's why Faith First Educational Assistance Corporation, we are busting myths. And that is the first one. We made hundreds of those brochures. If you visit our website, you'll see that brochure as soon as you click on. And the reason why we've done that is because we have to educate, re-educate. So it's redefined so that people realize they're not synonymous. So we have our parent engagement meetings. We give that brochure to the parents. We have them come up and teach each other, and then we send them out among their peer groups, and we say, you get 10 people, and you sit down and help them to understand that they're not synonymous. And they had no clue. Even the legislators, Ron, they kept saying, when we were in the Senate Finance Committee chair, they kept saying, we will not fund school choice until public education is fully funded. What they meant was until public school was fully funded. Right. So they're the legislators, and if they don't get it, I'm telling you, we have a lot of work to do in redefining this terminology.
Okay.
And practice.
Okay. Here's a question that that goes to a little bit of what we talked about earlier. And that's, you know, some of our listeners obviously are on the fence when it comes to school choice options like vouchers and tax credit scholarships because of the religious aspect. You know, for whatever reason, and I'm not questioning anybody, but for whatever reason, they pause at that. Now, you clearly are a strong Christian. You believe strongly in Christian schools. You believe strongly that they are a better fit for some kids. Can you briefly explain why you think that makes a difference with some kids? Why that kind of atmosphere can ultimately help kids academically?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. It goes back to the parent. The parent, as I said, is the steward of that child or those children. It's God-given, God-ordained. Therefore, that parent knows what is best for that child. And if there is a home that espouses certain beliefs, traditions, and values, then they want a school that will echo or be an extension of those values that are practiced in that home. So therefore, if they teach their children to pray before eating a meal, and they want that done all the time, when they're in a school classroom, in many settings other than Christian schools, many times the children will mock them and make fun of them because they do that. That's just one thing. It needs to be an extension of the values and the traditions and the principles that that family holds, that school does, because the child stays there 5 days a week, 7 hours a day, 180 days a year. That's a lot of time. But the classrooms are smaller. There's a disciplined environment. They can pray if there are some problems and children may be acting out or whatever they are doing. They can pray and they can help them. They can give them biblical principles that will guide them. And that's not even to touch on the academics. The academics are superior. They're superb. The academics, the character building, the integrity, the discipline, the patriotism. Today, you can hardly get a child to cross their heart and cover their heart when the Pledge of Allegiance is being done. But in a Christian school, there's patriotism. So there are a number of reasons why a parent or parents will choose a Christian environment for their children.
Okay, very good. Well, one last question, and thanks so much for being patient with me and taking time out. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you grew up in Philadelphia schools, and you mentioned that you were bullied in school. So can you help us understand the connection between, you know, your strong support for school choice and what you went through as a kid in public schools? And I know from us talking earlier that you do see a connection between those two things. So help me understand, you know, how your own personal experiences in schools and now your support for school choice as an adult come together.
Okay, I'm glad you asked me that as well, because as a child, as I mentioned earlier, growing up in the elementary school, there were bullies. I would call my mother frequently and ask her to come and get me because the girls wanted to beat me up. I'm talking about up through sixth grade, and I didn't do anything to them. It was just that I had on nice clothes, and I was a very excellent student. I fared very well academically. And in my junior high school, there was always, after school, a fight or a race riot, and we would get caught up in the fray. So when we got into high school, I barely wanted to go to school. And as a result, I dropped out eventually. I dropped out never having completed 10th grade. And, you know, I got with some people that were not doing anything. And as a result, I got pregnant at 16 years old, had my daughter at 17 years old. I had to go back and earn my degrees all the way through my doctoral degree as an adult. I had to get a GED. I had to do it the long way and the hard way. My daughter was later killed in a fire. As a result, 6 years old, it was just not a good thing. So I'm just saying that things may have been different had my parents had a choice to pay that extra money to send me to a private school, or if my dad would have bought a house in a neighborhood with the correct zip code, it may have been different for me. So I want to make sure that these children are not left to chance, but they're given the choice. And I'll do it until the end.
So if you, when you were a kid, had that option, you think you might have been able to go to a different school, get away from the bullies, and get back to focusing on your academics?
I believe there was a school right down on Broad and Ellsworth, St. Rita's it was. It was a parochial school. And most of the kids in my neighborhood, or many of them, were able to go to that school because they were Catholic. So because they were Catholic, they had a discount or a break, if you will, on their tuition. But we were not. We were Baptist. And so therefore my parents would have to pay full price. Very few paid full price. And I believe, had there been funds available, that my parents would have chosen that school. I cannot remember right now a Christian school in that area where a local church had a school other than the parochial school.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Wilson, this was great. I learned a lot from you today in just a few minutes. I really appreciate you taking this much time out for us. Thank you very much.
Ron, thank you very much for the offer.